Okay, there's still some milling about over here. Okay. It's not too late after the service if you'd like to buy tickets to put in our jars for the youth group fundraiser. There's a plug. Tonight, 6 o'clock, the candle lighting service children's program. Pastor Mike. The children are to be here at 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock. So, but the service starts at 6 o'clock tonight. I hope you all can be here. Bring family, bring friends. It's gonna be sweet. If you're a visitor today, which there could be one. I don't see anybody, but welcome. Okay. This is where you start that beautiful music. Yep. So I've been thinking about God's love and how awesome it is. And it's funny because, you know, I've been thinking about that verse that talks about how wide and long and high and deep, and I can understand and comprehend all of those words except for the high one. I don't know why I was struggling with God's love being high. And then it hit me. It has to be high so that we could understand the depth of how low he became for us. I know. He has to be high. He has to be lifted high in order for us to truly get how low he became. How lowly he became. Listen to this. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. We've been talking about that. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Open our eyes, Lord. Open our eyes. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Amen. God, thank you for your deep, deep love for us. God, thank you that you humbled yourself. You are high. You are high and lifted up, God, but you came. And Lord, that's what we celebrate today and all days, God, the fact that you came and that you're with us and that your love is never ending and immeasurable. God, thank you for this day that we can come and worship you. And Lord, help it to be sweet, sweet, sweet presence here today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love. In death, in life, I'm confident and covered by the power of your for shame.
Bye.
everything hinges on love. If you don't have love, you don't have hope. If you don't have love, you don't have joy. If you don't feel loved, you don't feel grace. There's somebody out there today that's not feeling loved. But today it feels tangible to me. And Jesus' love is here today, as always.
While the team continues to play, I'm just going to encourage you to just let Holy Spirit just speak to your heart. Holy Spirit's the Spirit of truth. And we can come up here, we can say eloquent words, and we can try to communicate in man's wisdom and man's understanding that God loves you. But I'm just going to just say a simple prayer, and I'm going to believe that Holy Spirit, especially those whose hearts are hurting, just going to speak to you and tell you how much the Father loves you, how much Jesus loves you, how much you are loved. So Father, we just ask right now that Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts. In such a significant and supernatural way. That your love just fills and burns inside of us. And we just release your glory right now, Lord. We release your presence into our midst. Release the work the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name.
You love me.
Pastor Mike, I want to say something real quick. This song is really wordy. There's a lot in this song. And you can pull bits and parts out of this song. But the part, every time I sing this song, the part that really just speaks to me is that you, meaning us, have won the victory. And sometimes we feel very defeated. Sometimes we feel like circumstances and things have come into our life. The busyness of life that we prayed about this morning. Things that cloud our relationship with the Lord. Stumbling blocks, things that doesn't allow us to fully see God's goodness sometimes. And it's hard because we go through circumstances and we just look at the negative. We look at the bad things. I'm guilty of that. I go through a circumstance. I go through a situation. And I pull my eyes off the Lord. I forget about the Lord almost. And I look at my circumstance. I look at the situation. And then I think about how I can fix my circumstance. How I can fix my circumstance and my situation. And then I quit trusting in the Lord almost. Or relying upon the Lord. But every single time I sing, or we sing the song, and I hear the song, you have won the victory. It wasn't by our doing that we won the victory. It was by Christ's victory. Amen. On Calvary, on the cross. And this is the season. And it takes these three things. It takes the birth of Christ, the cross, and the resurrection. But where it really truly happened was on the cross. And that's where we can claim our victory. It says, death could not hold us down. So I rebuke anything in your life, including my life, that is holding you down, that is death. Because anything that is negative, anything that is not of the Lord, circumstances in your life, you've done certain things, you've said certain things, those cannot hold you down. Because we have the power of the cross. Amen, church?
Amen.
So, Father, I just thank you, Lord God. I thank you that you came into this world, Lord God, to show us the truth, to show us the way, Lord God. The cross, Lord God, gave us that power, Lord God, to overcome any circumstance, Lord God, any situation in our life, Lord God. You have paid the price. You have paid the ultimate sacrifice, Lord God. We are bought. We are possessed by you, Lord God. And we claim that this season, Lord God, this Christmas season, that we are bought by you. We are not going to get anything clouded or anything that's going to keep us from inheriting your kingdom this Christmas, Lord God. And know that you are the reason for this season, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, that you are the reason. You are the reason for the season. And we can claim your victory in Jesus' name.
That? Amen. Well, if there's any children left, I know most of them are downstairs, but if there's any children left, you can head downstairs for practice for the performance tonight. That, again, is going to be at 6 o'clock, and parents, make sure your kids are here at 4 o'clock for practice. So, everybody got that? Thank you, team. Praise the Lord. Yes, amen. Thank you, Tyson. Good word. Praise God. No, I've been keeping it up here for a little bit. Again, for the longest time, I was pulling the pulpit down on the floor, and it's kind of a less of a, you know, preaching at you type of way of approaching the sermon, but as I've said, I really feel that the Lord's put on my heart that what I'm sharing about is so important and so vital. Hopefully that'll be a good word. Vital for us to get and to receive into our hearts, receive into our spirits, receive into our understanding. So I'm up here to hopefully increase the emphasis of that. And it's not in any way to say that, you know, because I know for a long time I would see the pastor preaching up there and I would get this feeling like they're up there and I'm down here, and you start to get this false impression that the people who are communicating to you, hopefully we don't have that going on here, but the people communicating to you from a place of responsibility or position are better than you or have something that you don't. And that is a lie from the pit of hell. Just because I am given a grace right now to communicate to you these truths that the Lord has been showing me through these years, and I'm sharing with you about the same time I get them. I'm not like, you know, 5 miles ahead of you, and then, you know, my goal is not to teach you guys things that I've been walking in for years. That's not what the Lord's having me do. I mean, I could do a disciple class and help you guys that way, but really what God's called me to do is help bring breakthrough. And I'm going through breakthrough at the same time. And breakthrough is a great concept because it means that you're breaking through something. And how many know that we've been living in darkness way too long? Oops. Got something going on here. We've been living in darkness way too long. And God is illuminating. He is shining his light. He is taking our darkness and he's saying, let there be light. And it's causing our hearts and our minds and our spiritual eyes to see where we haven't seen before. And to understand where we haven't really had understanding before. How many of you have been reading the Bible? Hopefully, everyone can say, bring your Bible. And it's come alive over this past year to 2 years, 3 years, like it never has before. Two of us? Praise God. Come on now. Three of us. No, there's more hands than that. But the point being is that I challenge you to read your word and to not read it as if you've already read it. That's hard to do. That's hard to do, especially if you've been in church a long time, grown up in church, gone through the classes that we have at church, and you know the doctrines that we've learned and how they all go together. I challenged somebody the other day, and I said, I want you to read Genesis 1 and 2, and just tell them, and just read it as if you've never read it before. And they were talking to me last night, and they go, wow, I read that, and I read it as if I've never read it before, and as if I hadn't been taught how it all goes together, and a whole new world opened up. So I challenge you to do that. Read your Bible as if you've never read it before. That's tough. That's tough because we pride ourselves a lot of times in what we know, you know. In our jobs, you know, you get promotions and stuff as you get more knowledge, as you you know, you develop your skills, and you know, there's that, you know, pecking order that, you know, develops in a lot of places, and it gets to be something that, you know, you get rewarded for financially and all those things. And then the problem is we bring that same idea into our spiritual life, and we get to the place where we think we know what we need to know. And, you know, we know what we need to know to live a Christian life. And the problem is, what you know today will not be what you need tomorrow. Your revelation that you have of God today won't take you into tomorrow. And as long as we think that we know enough to, you know, say, well, Pastor, I live tomorrow, I still love God. Yeah, I'm not talking about just existing. I'm not talking about getting by. I'm not talking about surviving. I'm talking about living an overcoming life. I'm talking about getting out, as I preached last week, getting out of your own mind. I'm talking about living a life that those who communicate with you at times will think this person's a fruitcake. Because you're not thinking like this realm. And some of you may say, well, that's going to make it really hard to interact with people. No, it's not. Jesus did not think of this realm. He did not have his mind set on things of this earth. How did he get along with people? They flocked to him. They ran to him. It's because what he carried by not having his mind set on things of the earth, he carried heaven with him. How many know heaven is very attractive? It's very attractive. It's beautiful. And if we could display heaven here on earth in these earthen vessels as we're called to do, and by faith, we can believe we already are. You know, some of us just need to get plugged in somewhere and let the light shine. That's not what I'm preaching about today, but praise the Lord anyhow, right? Amen. Let me open with prayer. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, God, that your word is alive. Lord, it is so alive, Lord, that it causes us, Lord, to be woken up. It causes us, Lord, to be challenged. It causes us, Lord, to see our current state and realize that that is not who we truly are. Lord, so I just release, Lord, your word here today into our hearts. Lord, I pray, God, that there would be such an understanding that would come. Lord, and such a revelation of truth, Lord, that would come. God, that it would make us free. We would walk out of here with a greater amount of freedom. And Lord, I pray we wouldn't lose it. I pray we wouldn't let the enemy come and lie to us and say, well, that was just something that happened there, or that's just a coincidence No, we do not let that happen right now in Jesus' name. We release full truth. We release full liberty into your people now in Jesus' name. Lord, the reality, Lord, of the gospel, what it means, not just to be saved, Lord, to be fully transformed into Jesus' likeness. Lord, we release that right now in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you, Lord, that you're bringing all of our thoughts into captivity right now to the obedience of the Anointed One. Right now in Jesus' name, our thoughts are being focused with the help of the Holy Spirit. You're reining us in, Lord. We're going to be able to focus now, set our mind on things above. We just set aside the distractions and the chaotic things that have been happening in life. And we just choose to focus on you right now. Holy Spirit, dial us in. Dial us in. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, God is good. All the time, he's good, I hear. How about the love of God? Man, we sang about that today, didn't we? We are going to look at Ephesians. Well, first, before I do this, I've got to, because I don't know who was here last week or who just showed up in the last 3 weeks, so I want to reiterate, because I really believe that going over these scriptures is important. So just bear with me for a moment. We're gonna talk about a few scriptures to talk about the things unseen. You guys are going to be able to quote them with me perfectly here in a little bit. But first verse is in Isaiah 26:3. He says, I will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. We've learned that perfect peace means shalom, or complete, whole. However you picture, you know, ultimate fulfillment in God, he's going to be able to keep you in your mind and in your heart in that state when your mind is framing the things of God, framing the things of heaven, framing God and his love for you, framing is thinking about, forming. Okay, let's go to 2 Corinthians 4:18 says this, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. While we do not look at the things which are seen, I want to give you a little bit of an insight here. I've been studying some more of this scripture, and this word look is a pretty interesting word. It's where we get our word scope. It's where we get our word scope. So you think of a telescope. You think of a microscope. What are those things meant to do? They're meant to focus. They're meant to set your ability, or give you an ability to set your sights on something that you normally can't see. How many looked through a microscope before? How many have looked at something
that was there, and it was like a little blob, and you're like, that's just a blob. And you look through the microscope, and all of a sudden, a world is alive, especially if it was something that had, like, you know, some kind of microscopic life. And you're seeing it flood. Well, I didn't see that. You know, like a little drop of water out of a pond or something can come alive. Now, you didn't see that before, did you? But because of scope, because of microscopically looking at it, you see the life. Okay? That's the way we're to look at the things that are not seen. That means we, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we, through the Word of God, we, through the divine inspiration of God, have the ability. He wouldn't tell us it unless, tell us about it, or tell us to do it unless what? We can do it. We should be able to either microscopically or telescopically. How about in a telescope? Anybody look through a telescope? You know, you look up and you can see, like, maybe, you know, a couple of stars. All of a sudden you look through Jesse's high power telescope way out camping somewhere, and all of a sudden that little black patch, you thought it was just black, you know, because you see a few big stars and you see some other stars, but you look, there's you can, it's like white because there's that many stars you're picking up. And then you can zoom in with the others, and you can zoom on a star that there's no way you could see otherwise. I'm telling you that there's things in God that unless we allow ourselves to be scoped in, we're going to miss that unseen realm and the blessing of the unseen realm. Here we go. How about Colossians 3:1? Mentioned this again last week. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind. That means your mind. That means your ability to think, your ability to reason, your ability to put thoughts together. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Okay, back to now. Ephesians chapter 1. And let's go ahead. We'll start at verse 15 because it kind of lays a little bit of the context of where Paul is sharing from. And today's sermon title is Understanding. I think that's kind of funny. Understanding. Maybe I'll understand it by the time I'm done, but why I named it that. But verse 15, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So this is Paul, and he's telling the Ephesus church that after I've heard about your love, after I've heard about just you living a life for God, I don't cease in my prayers for you. Then this is what he prays. He says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. It's kind of what I was praying a little bit before, that the Holy Spirit would reveal to us. Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. So Holy Spirit lives inside of you. If you've asked Jesus into your heart, Holy Spirit takes personal residence inside of you. And, you know, a lot of people are worried about getting all deceived and all that stuff. I'm telling you, the Spirit of truth resides in you. And the Spirit of truth is greater than the spirit of deception. How many agree? So who should we fear? Not the spirit of deception. A healthy fear of God and keeping Holy Spirit happy in us. Not grieving the Holy Spirit. Not going out and just living our own lives for ourselves and doing our own thing and just forgetting about God. Because it stifles Holy Spirit working inside of you. But if you're asking God in faith, in confidence, that the one who is inside of you allows him who is in heaven to speak to you personally, the Spirit of truth will guide and lead you into all truth. So you do not have to worry about being deceived. Only reason you would have to worry about being deceived is if you're not giving Holy Spirit room in your life. If you're chasing after other things all the time. Okay. The Holy Spirit, Spirit of truth, Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. In verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. That is a sentence. That's a long sentence. I actually stopped in the middle. It starts at verse 15 and finishes at 21. So for those of you who write rambling sentences, you're writing the book of Paul, because he did that all the time. Put commas and... So that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, verse 18 is what I want to focus on. I've preached on this area before, and I focused on other things. I focused on the hope of His calling, and I focused on the glory of the inheritance in the saints, which is very important. But folks, you're not going to know the hope of His calling. You're not going to know the glory of the inheritance in the saints or in His saints if you don't even understand what it means to understand. Understanding, understanding. See, again, we read the Bible and we've heard verses, and maybe you've heard it for the first time today, and if we don't scope in, if we don't focus, if we don't allow our hearts to say, okay, there's words here, but Father, what do those words mean? Holy Spirit, what do those words mean? And you know, a lot of times in our English language, these words, who are mainly Greek and Hebrew words throughout the Bible, have been translated to where sometimes we don't pick up fully what they mean. But I think this word understanding is a pretty good interpretation. But I'll tell you what, I never even gave the word understanding very much thought. I just gave the word eyes thought when I preached on it last time. Now some of you are going like, are you splitting hairs? In a way I am. And hopefully maybe when I give this illustration, it will help. But this is literally saying that your sight, your eyes of your ability to think through things would be illuminated, would be lit up, would be made light. Not light in a way of it's not a big deal, but made illuminated, made bright, so that you can see the hope of His calling, so you can see the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints. So this word understanding basically means that we somehow have to be able to and allow God to let His truth become tangible and real to us. So that it makes sense. Some people say, well, how can you make sense of the Bible? It's, you know, a lot of times it's just, you know, words that, you know, are just on a page and I can't. Well, that's where you have to take some time. You guys know that in the Old Testament, they were encouraged to meditate in the word day and night. And they took that seriously. You know, here in the United States, we have gotten kind of lazy. I'm just going to call it like it is. We've gotten kind of lazy, and we just kind of have a slotted time of the week that we get to kind of be spoon-fed. I'll let you fill in the blanks what that means. No, it basically means that people go to churches all over the place and they think that that's going to be their spiritual diet. And unfortunately for most, it is their spiritual diet. And folks, oh man, I have to give this illustration. Why do you do this, Lord? What that would be like if this was the only diet would be that you are like eating just food from my table. And that's all that you would live on. Let's say that this was in the physical now. You guys were coming here on Sunday to get your food. That would mean that if you don't do anything spiritually in your life during the week. Now, I'm not talking about just a simple prayer, thank you, Lord. Those are all good, thanking that the Lord's with you. But I'm talking about feeding this part of you that needs to be fed through the Word of God, through prayer and devotion time. It would be like you coming in and eating your meal here and then going away for an entire week and not eating. That's what it would be like. Can any of you picture that? Waiting to come to church on Sunday? You can't. Coming to church on Sunday, and that's when you get your natural food. That, you know. Or come to a building, and this is where you eat once a week, and then you don't eat. How many are for that? Especially on Christmas Day or Thanksgiving or something. I can't eat. I eat at a place every Sunday, so I can't eat right now. Yet, so many of us have done that. I used to do that for a while when I was early in my years. You know, I would get to the place where I get kind of comfortable, and I know I'm going to get a sermon, I know I'm going to get some food. But how would you live the rest of the week if you didn't eat? I'm not talking about your fasting and seeking God. I'm just talking about, you know, I'm talking about this is your norm. For 6 days, you're surviving off of one day's meal. It doesn't make sense, does it? Yet how many of us live that kind of life? And we wonder why we set our mind on things of the earth. We set our mind on everything else around us. It's because that has become our whole attention. We have to feed ourselves. We have to allow Holy Spirit fuel to work in us. Now, there's times by God's grace, he'll speak to you, and he'll speak to you just out of the blue, and it's not necessarily a verse. He's just speaking to your heart. But how many know most of the time God speaks to you? It's through the Word. He uses verses with me. He'll start speaking to me about something. He'll say, hey, son, how about this verse here? You know, oh, wow. And it applies right here, right now in your life. Oh, wow. You know, he's using the Word. That wasn't what I was preaching on, but the point is that if the eyes of our understanding are going to be enlightened to the place where we're able to scope in and focus, telescope, you know, the telescopes, you know, you can get range of different powers. You can get range of different qualities, different mirrors and stuff. And if you think of the deep things of God, the height, we want to see the height of God's love, right? Well, to me, like you said, the height of God's love is how far he's come. And sometimes we need to get a picture of where he is to realize how far he's come. See, if we don't realize the glory that he was in, if we just think, well, it was another place somewhere. We don't anticipate, you know, or not anticipate, but even speculate, trying to get in our hearts where he was and the glory that he had. And you know, like it says in Hebrews 12, we've come to Mount Zion. That's the type of atmosphere he came from, where festive angels, millions of them, are gathered, where there's a glorious celebration around the throne. And he left that to become man. He left that and was divinely implanted in a woman who had never known a man. Talk about the advent. A woman who had never known a man, and heaven literally inhabited her. God's DNA took and matched up with human DNA and created the vessel that would become the ultimate sacrifice for you and me. But how can we understand the fullness of the height unless we get a picture of that height? And Holy Spirit is able. If you read about it, Jesus says in through John 14 through I think about 16, he says, listen, the Holy Spirit's coming and he will show you all truth. He will show you things that I've done and said. He'll remind you of things I've done and said. Well, some people say it's just for the disciples. No, that's for us. There are things that Jesus did and things that Jesus said that Holy Spirit could just tell you about, because it's only applicable to your life right now. Nobody else needs to know about it, and it could bring freedom to you. Some of you may say, well, how can that happen? He's Holy Spirit. Okay, I'm going to get to a little illustration here. Understanding. So try to bear with me here if this gets a little laborious, but I believe that by the time this is done, this hopefully is going to give you an idea of the way that you need to start looking at understanding and asking Holy Spirit to bring understanding to you. And maybe you'll know what to look for when understanding comes. Okay, so we're going to go on a little trip here. And I'm going to give you a location. And I want you to tell me what picture you get in your heart when I give you that location, okay? All right. So here's the location. The latitude is 46 degrees, 36 hours, 25.52 minutes north. The longitude is 120 degrees, 44 hours, by 21.05 minutes west. What kind of picture do you guys get in your mind right now? What? No, you're really trying to reach. I would say, unless some of you are actually surveyors, or somebody who is working in an office of the assessor, or has done some kind of work recently and has looked at maybe your titles or something and looked at the actual, you know, longitude, latitude, locations, most of you are lost, right? So what is happening right now is you are lacking understanding. Now, you're given information, but you're lacking understanding. Why? Ask yourself, why? Why am I lacking understanding? That is an exact location I just gave you. That is a place that you can go to right now. Some of you think, well, I'll get my GPS. I'll put, you know, it's possible that maybe your GPS system might get you there. But I'm talking about right now, what kind of picture are you getting? Nothing. Folks, I'm telling you, that is what has been happening with the Word of God for a long time. It's been like a longitude and latitude. And part of it is because there's been a darkness that has shrouded our eyes. And we hear things in the Bible and we're blank. It's like, huh? But God is allowing our hearts to come alive. In the New American Standard and in some other translation, that is actually translated that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. Which is very much the same thing. Your heart, your ability to see things. Okay, so let me help you out here. Here's an actual address. I tried to find one that maybe nobody would know. I didn't know it. If you know it, don't say where it is, please. Don't ruin this. 400 Yule Road, not Yule time, that's good. Yule Road, Yakima, Washington. Now, if you've been there before, don't say anything. How and what kind of picture are you getting in your mind right now? That's an actual address. And it's obviously here in Yakima. Now, maybe some of you are starting to picture this. You're getting a little bit of a view. Well, this is Yakima, so 400. Maybe you're starting to try to put things together. In some ways, that's what Holy Spirit has been doing. Been broadening our ability to gain some understanding, showing us some things by giving us experiences in the kingdom of God. And we're able to start saying, okay, I might be able to start getting an anchor point where that might be. But for the most part, how many are still lost? If I was to hand you that address and say, drive there. Oh, you know, Ken? I thought maybe Ken would know. Okay, doesn't know. So, folks, your understanding still has not been enlightened. Have I given you good information? Have I given you something that literally, if you were to go to a map and you find it, You've got to scope in, don't you? And we have got to realize that there is all kinds of stuff all through the Word of God that is that direct, but you have to have other information to be able to put it all together. You have to have other revelation for that revelation to help. I mean, the first revelation I gave you, longitude, longitude, it's completely correct. That's where that location is. And the address I gave you, that's perfectly correct. That's where that location is. Now, let me take you on a journey. And what I want you to do now is, based on what you have experienced in your life so far, through your days here in Yakima, through your time driving the streets, if you don't drive, just pretend you're a passenger and you're right along with us. Or for the first time, get behind the wheel and drive with us. Fortunately, it's not a real car, so hopefully it should be no accidents. So, young kids, if you're not driving, drive with me there. All right. We're at 3414 Tithe and Drive. That's where we're leaving from. Okay? So we're going to go out, get in our cars. Can you guys see yourselves getting in your car? Getting in your car. We're going to go to the end of the parking lot over here by southwest, and we're going to turn down 35th, okay? We're going to turn on to Tyton Drive, and we're going to drive west. How many know which way west is? West is that way. Right? North, south, east, west. Okay. Now, are you guys starting to fix in? Are we all in the same place right now? Hopefully this will all come together or not, but at least you maybe you'll know how to get to this location when we're done. So we're going to go 0.4 miles now. For those of you who have driven in a car, you can start all of a sudden now picturing in your mind what about a half a mile is, right? But where did that information come from? Past experiences. So see, what's limiting us, I want to take a moment here, what's been limiting us in God is that we have not had enough past experiences. I want to say that again. We have not had enough past experience. Well, some would say, well, how do you have an experience if you've never had one? You live through others' experiences. That's where fellowshipping, testimonies come in. That's where reading the Word of God and seeing a miracle that maybe happened in the Old Testament, the New Testament, you focus in on that. You allow your imagination to frame something and you start getting into that. We have to start allowing our heart to receive the Word as it was designed to receive the Word, not up in our head. Because folks, we have made the Bible something that we just store. And how many know that this mind up here isn't truly what does the thinking? Because if you believe that, you're believing, it's the mind of our heart, folks. And I can't tell you exactly where it is. It, for all we know, it's part of that spiritual dynamic that we're working in. That it is something that we can't even see, that scientists can't even see. This is a storage device. And when we access it, it gets activity, doesn't it? They can put little monitors on your head, and sometimes it has corrupted sectors, for those of you who know hard drives, and you know the brain misfires and there's problems. Sometimes people have they have issues with their brain misfiring. Anyway, the point being is that we have to realize that God has given us a heart that sees. And even right now, as I'm describing this, you're thinking, oh, I'm thinking this in my mind. You're not getting it. And as long as you keep the Word of God it just up here, stored, it's not going to do anything. God is wanting His Word to manifest in flesh. And we have always thought that if we get enough information in us, it'll manifest. If we read it enough times or memorize it enough times, it will manifest. No, the only time it will manifest is when it becomes living inside of us. So we have to make and allow the Word of God to come alive inside of us. We have to allow the Word of God to take on form inside of us. Just as we can't get to that location right now with the information I've given you so far. But I'm giving you information now that I believe is the same way that the Lord wants to allow us to start receiving a truth and a revelation. Maybe it's a perfect illustration because maybe God has a location for you to go to. And that location isn't of this realm. And maybe that location is a place where you can be personally, intimately in the Father's arms. Or personally, intimately walking with Jesus hand in hand. I got to give this illustration because it's for you guys. It might help you. The other day, I really felt like the Lord wanted me to take His hand. And you know, it was, you know, the Father, you know, you can kind of picture, you know, Father, but, you know, grown, almost, you know, 54-year-old man. I know I don't look it, but anyway, beat you to that. Anyway, or maybe just giving you something for fuel in the future. Pastor, you don't look. Thank you. No. Hey, you know, it's just, I digressed. Anyway, point being is Jesus said, I want to take your hand. And so I said, Lord, I mean, yeah, but it felt weird. This is a man, you know, and I felt like he wanted to hold my hand like intimately. And I was realizing he was dealing with issues in my life that hold me back from intimacy. That it is this persona of that I'm grown up. It is this, even though I say I'm a child of God and everything, there's still things that Holy Spirit can start directing his work in your life and start saying, you want intimacy, but can you even just take my hand? And so I reached out my hand physically. I reached out my hand. I said, Lord, I take your hand. And at first it was a little awkward. But after a while, I became used to it. And now I'm finding myself saying, Lord, I want to take your hand. I want you to take my hand. And maybe it's simple for some of us, but this is breakthrough for me because it's always been up here. And God's helping it to get here. God's helping it to become a reality. I prayed that I want the reality of the gospel. I want the reality of your word. And he says, okay, you want the reality, then get ready for it. It may not be what you thought it was. I thought the reality of his word was going to be, you know, pulling somebody up out of a wheelchair or casting out demons or something like that. That was always the picture, a very limited small picture I had of having God's reality of his word in there. And about 4 months ago, God showed me when I was reading John, it said, Jesus, who was in the bosom of the Father, still, while John was describing him here on earth, he was in the bosom of the Father. And he started dealing with me about, where are you? Where is your heart? Okay, I digress, but that was important because I really believe that the Lord is allowing us through the Holy Spirit to give us the keys to be able to find our location in God. So we drive west, 0.4 miles to South 40th. How many of you can picture that right now, South 40th? You can picture Albertsons right there. What is it? Zeffel Stadium and a bank there and Tom Tom's just down the street. You can start picturing that, right? Start getting that picture. Okay, so now we're going to continue west. Okay? How many have been all the way to 40th? So you're all with me still, right? Most of the people have been here, to 40th. Maybe you've always come from that way. You've never gone to 40th. Continue west 2 miles to South 72nd Avenue. Okay, now we're getting close to your neighborhood now. And we have what? Rosar's there. We have a bank. I don't know the name of the bank there. What's that? Yakima Federal. Okay, so are you guys starting to get kind of an idea? Have you kind of seen yourself on a journey now? Okay. Now, what are we starting to get? Well, it's in the west direction. You guys starting to get that idea? Because if it was east, I probably wouldn't be taking you that way, right? Unless I wanted the real long route, okay? Unless I was trying to really kill some time. Oh, yeah, unless I'm with... Ken's pointing at Barb. Unless you're with Barb. That was in total love you said that. I know that. Now we're going to continue west 1.5 miles. Guess where we're at? We're at South 96. We're getting close to your neighborhood and close to Glen and Lotus. So now you guys are starting to see. You've been familiar with that area. You can kind of see where you're going, right? You're kind of getting an idea where we're heading somewhat. We could turn on 96. We don't know what we're going to do now. But do you see what's happening here? Your understanding is being enlightened, folks. This is your understanding being enlightened. You are now understanding. Understanding. Understanding means you're getting a picture. Now, some of you may not be getting a picture. Some of you may be getting a picture. But what's happening is your mind is now relating in your heart, and you're able to go on this journey with me to this location. Okay, now we're going to go west another 2 miles. Now, how many have been out to Mize Road? You've been to Mize Road? Okay. Others, Mize Road? Okay. You go 2 miles, Mize Road. We're going to remain going west at Mize Road. So we're going to go another 2 miles to a Y where Mayor Road and Tyatin Drive section off. Now, most people probably haven't gone out here. Only reason I went out here is because I was part of an astronomers club, and that was our direction to where we went way out in the boondocks where no light was. But, you know, where you do that little U there. How many have been all that way? Few of you. Okay. But the rest of you, you know what you're now doing? You're now following me by faith. Even though you've never been there. But you're going with me right now. Because you have an understanding that I'm not leading you astray, right? And you have an understanding that the information that I'm giving you is truth. So even though you have never been to this location before, you're following me. Listen, that's what we have to allow the word to do. Even though we don't see it right now, or even though we haven't seen it before, if we have other roadmaps and other signposts that we've used, or we've been to other locations, and if you haven't been anywhere in God, then go somewhere. Take some time and let the word come alive in you. Because folks, that's the only way that it's going to be reality in our lives, is if we allow ourselves to get a picture in our heart of this. Not just in our minds. How many would honestly say that for most of their Christian life, they've lived their Christian life in their mind? Come on now. Really. Where most of it is up here. You desire, but you haven't tangibly brought it to where it's something that you can totally grasp. Okay, let me get you to the location. We're going to go another 0.5 miles down through the curve, and we're going to take a slight right onto Olson Road. So now we're going to head north on Olson Road, 0.8 miles. We're going to take the first right on Yule Road. Destination will be on our left. That's not a real house, so if you guys are going to try to find it, it's the general area. I don't want somebody on the internet to go, he just gave her address. You know, it's like... Point being is that the latitude and the longitude, folks, was the exact location. The address was the exact location. But until you allowed me to take you by the hand and take you there, it was hard to find it, wasn't it? And what did the Lord ask me to do? Take me by the hand. I believe that God wants to literally take us where we need to go. He is so willing to take us beyond our natural understanding, our natural reasoning, our mistakes of the past, our limited ability to even fathom heaven, and take us right into his heart. And I'm telling you, the reason I'm hitting this so hard is because it's vital for us to do this. Some may think, well, this is just so we can live a really good Christian life. No, this is so that we can survive in the coming days. It will require that kind of intimacy. And what do I mean by survive? I mean, like, am I going to die, Pastor Mike? No, but I'm saying thrive spiritually. Now, the reason a lot of people have been able to live, spiritually speaking, going to the table once a week and then going and living their lives is because the pressures that were out there were not in such a way that it was persecuting their faith, that it was causing them to have to dig deep to walk their walk. But I believe those days are coming. And I believe Holy Spirit is being so gracious and so honoring to us and giving us this, hey, wake up, my children. You know, like in Revelation, where he says to the church, listen and hear what the Spirit is saying. One of the places he says, put eye salve on. Now, was Jesus talking about physical eye salve? No. He was talking about their blinded eyes, where they thought they were wealthy, healthy, and everything was good. It's going to be Christmas in, what, 3 days? 3 days. And it's a time of celebration. It's a time of, you know, family. And it's a time of, you know, of celebrating the time that Jesus did come for you and I. But the 26th, the 27th, 2014 are also coming. And how are we going to live then? How are we going to receive the true work of what Jesus did? Not just God coming and being with man, walking there 2,000 years ago, but God literally coming and grabbing your hand right now and say, my child, follow me. Because where I'm going to take you, you've never been before. But my heart is to lead you. My heart is to guide you. My heart is to take you to a place where you will be able to be transformed into the image of who I am. That's amazing. That sure puts a whole nother spin on just Jesus in a manger. Knowing that there is an intent in God to take our hands right now and take us where we've never been. And to give us a stability, I believe, in our life now that we've never had. A foundation that we've never had. But we have got to quit looking at the things which are seen. We have got to quit setting our minds on things below. We've got to start knowing that there's addresses in the Word of God that for the past have maybe seemed obscure and unattainable or even ununderstandable. Think of the book of Revelation. I was talking to somebody the other day and said that there's people out there saying now that, well, the book of Revelation, it may have been just a fluke. It may have been, it's like, really? That John was just out of his mind? Yeah, he was out of his mind. He wasn't in his mind. He was in God's mind. He was setting his mind on things above. Now, just because our natural mind doesn't understand it does not mean that you can't get it. But if you read Revelation with the teaching of Hal Lindsey or the other teachers, and you just say, well, that's what it means, you've now done yourself a disservice. And you've now limited the Holy Spirit's ability to show you the truth. Now, am I saying somebody's going to read it here and they're going to start teaching it all to us? I don't believe it's for that. I don't believe that we're just to take these revelations and just start teaching them to each other because they're the revelation that we got. I believe that Holy Spirit wants to start speaking to each and every one of us. Will we bring things for each other? Yes. But I believe we're going to bring things that are relevant for our day and for their day that they're in, but not keep regurgitating old truths. Praise the Lord. Getting some of those blank stares again. Come on, there's addresses. There's specific places in the Word that God wants to take you. There's specific places, I believe, in His kingdom that He wants to take you. But we've got to start scoping in. We've got to start having the Holy Spirit teach us how to focus. Otherwise, we'll miss. We will miss what God has for us. But God loves us. Oh, he loves us. He loves us so much that he's giving us repetition after repetition. How many of you know I'm not that repetitive most of the time? How many of you know I'm not that man, I'm not a man of many words who know me personally. Mostly, I'm not a man of many. Jesse knows me. Gay knows me. Most of the time, I don't talk a lot. Most of the time, I don't make sense. I'm just telling it like it is. So if this is making sense, it's a miracle. Jesse goes like, Jesse takes all the stuff to heart and says, I know that is not you. He's like, so listen, if this is making sense, it is a miracle. So now let your understanding of your understanding take you to new places in God. Okay. If you today have been inspired to gain a greater understanding so that the Bible isn't just a blank sheet or the Bible isn't just a bunch of words of hieroglyphics on some page and you try to get whatever little bit you can, but you truly want an understanding that you'll be able to go to the address God has for you, would you stand? I'm standing as well. Praise the Lord. Lynette? Sure, Lynette. But she may want to stand. So, so what does that mean? You guys have just responded to, you know, a plea, you know, a request. But what really matters now is, can you remain standing with that affirmation when you leave? Because that's what will be the rubber hitting the road. I can pray a prayer and I can say, Lord, let it happen. And it will have power. But the choice will be yours. How much you're now going to go and feast during the week. How much you're going to go and scope in on truth. How much you're going to allow yourself to have the mysteries of God opened up to you. So it's all on you. Except the good news is Holy Spirit is so active and at work in these days. There's a busyness going on in the supernatural realm that you can just say, Father, I don't know how, but what Pastor Mike said, I want help, lead me there. Some of you are going, well, I don't even know how to do that. Grab John 3:16 and just ask the Lord to reveal something to you. I'll give you one. I just recently read John 3:16 again. Actually, I didn't even read it. I was just memorizing it, musing it in my heart, just kind of just ruminating, whatever you want to call it. And the Lord had me focus on a word. And it's been revolutionizing me. One of these days, maybe I will preach on it. But God, for God so loved the what? World. You know, that word world has been there forever. But I read that, for God so loved mankind. But that's not what it says. But in a way, that's what we've been taught. God so loved the world. Now, if you want to go another step, that word is cosmos. You could say, for God so loved the creation that he made, includes the universe, that he sent his only begotten son. There's a lot more going on with Jesus coming than just saving you and I. We are at the heart of it, but there's a lot more going on. If we would start to realize that, maybe realize that we've got a little more responsibility than what we've even thought. That's what I'm telling you. Holy Spirit is taking the old and he's making it brand new. Or he's taking what we've never understood and he's making it so understood we can go to locations in God. So Father, right now I just release, Father, your children. I release us, Lord, into the greater things that you have for us to move into. And we know, Lord, that it's going to take, God, our diligence. It's going to take, Lord, our faithfulness, Lord, to think about things above, to study your word, Lord, to take time to let your word go deep into our hearts and not let it be just something we memorize, Lord, but something that we frame, something that we form, something we fashion into truth and reality. And Lord, I just release right now supernatural instruction, supernatural guidance, supernatural wisdom, supernatural understanding to come to us as your people. We thank you, Lord, that you're giving us the ability to understand what it means to understand, what it means to have our hearts illuminated. And we receive that now by faith. And Lord, give us the grace and the strength to walk in it in full truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Boaz, yes, Boaz is here. He's in the house. Is he asleep? Yes, he's asleep. Tonight's the drawing for the deal. 6 o'clock tonight will be our children's performance program and candlelighting service. The last chance to buy tickets for that there. And have a great day.